Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the next episode of Box, Box, Box. You're here today with me, Dom.
I'm Sam.
And we're going to be talking about a few things that I've saw in F1 news over the past little bit. We're going to be talking about Kimi Antonelli, Daniel Ricciardo.
Oi, oi!
And also the new swearing rule thing that's not fun, but yeah.
What? Anyway, let's roll the intro music.
Let's do it.
So as Dom said, I'm Sam.
I'm Dom.
And this is Box, Box, Box. Now, I've been really busy this week, but Dom has prepared an absolutely show-stopping episode, I'm aware. So, Dom, what has been happening this week?
I was
going to
say, you're not aware because I haven't told you anything. It's a big secret.
Actually, more importantly, what are you wearing?
Today, I am wearing Red Bull.
Who's on the back?
No one. I would never wear anything with Max Verstappen on if that's what you were thinking.
However, we are now also in video. A massive thank you to Baiten Studios providing this space for us. We big up your bad self.
Yeah, we wouldn't be able to have this amazing looking set without them. So thanks again for letting us use your space.
Big up your bad self.
If you want to do any video or photo stuff and you're in the West Midlands area,
Hit him up.
Let us know. We'll put you in touch. They give you good mates rates with us, maybe. If you ask nicely.
sucky, $5.
Before we get digging into the episode, though, I've got a little challenge for you.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Go on, then.
It's really simple, but I had this challenge with my dad the other day, and he struggled.
Oh, dear.
It could literally be 10 seconds. It could be a couple of minutes. We could be here a while. I don't know.
Oh, God. Go on, then.
I challenge you to say something nice about Lance Stroll. For our audio listeners, Sam is what is he? He's googling. He's trying to find something nice to say on the internet about it. You could have just got my dad tried the. He's Canadian. Is that nice? He's digging. I'm just filling here just so that like people can hear what's going on.
He's got a fantastic head of hair.
Do you know what? I think he does have
the nicest thing I can say. His dad's got pee.
His dad's got pee and he pays for keeps. That must be what it is.
He's got a good teammate.
Yeah. He's got a good teammate. He drives for a nice team. I mean, it's a lot harder than what it sounds, though, isn't it? When you think about it in like the grand scheme of things, like say something nice about him. It's like, I challenge all of you guys to ask your Formula One friends.
Or even better, leave a comment. Now it's on YouTube.
Yeah. But I didn't know until we had some comments left on our episode that you can leave comments on Spotify.
Yeah, I know.
I was not
sensational.
Aware. We've had some good comments so far.
I know. It's been lovely. Thank you to everyone. And we heard and we listened and now we're in frigging video.
Yeah. So
we're going to try and speak a little bit more concise as well because we have some German listeners.
Some Polish listeners as well.
We have some in the goddamn United States of America.
We've got,
and they're in the south as well. They're in the lower 48.
That's it.
They are of the land of the V8. Anyway, Dominic.
Okay.
I digress.
What are we going to talk about? So, I mean, first of all, I've got this is a title that I came up with. Just to summarize something, I'll just read you something, and then we can talk about it.
Okay.
A little bit like the Red Bull thing that we did before. But the title of this little thing that I've wrote up is The Rule Bending Rookie. Is 2020 the key to 2024 Mercedes' unusual approach for Antonelli?
Okay, I'm intrigued.
So I watched this video of this one guy. I've watched a couple of his videos on YouTube, but I can't remember who he is, so I can't credit him. But I will credit him at some point, or I'll do my research and find out where it's from, and we'll definitely credit him in the notes for the episode listing on wherever it'll be. But yeah, so this is what I've pulled from what he's wrote, or the research that he did, because I didn't do it myself. Time
for that. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Yeah, so Kimi Antonelli, the newest addition to the Mercedes Formula One team, is embarking on his rookie season with an unusual approach, testing the 2020 car. And when, obviously, I found that out, I was like, okay. And the whole testing thing with the rules and the regulations of what it comes down to, I don't know what rules really are. And I'm not about to go
from
into that and say
what
this.
I understand, I know the competition cars out of 2023 or 2024, I'm pretty sure it can only do certain amounts of laps.
Yes. Well, that's what I'm going to get into with this now.
Because I know Lewis Hamilton was testing a 2023 Ferrari, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Which is the oldest Ferrari. Well, the newest Ferrari they can use for open testing.
Well, it says here, so...
Correct me if I'm wrong.
So with the testing that he was doing in the 2020 car, while the title-winning W11, which is the 2020 season championship car, which Mercedes won the Constructors and Drivers' Championship with...
Yeah. That was Lucy's seventh title as well, wasn't it?
Yes. While the title-winning W11 differs significantly from the current ground effect cars, the strategy is deliberate. Recent rule changes have limited the number of test days for older cars, particularly those from 2022 and 2023. So these restrictions implemented after Max Verstappen's test in Imola last year aimed to prevent teams from gaining a unfair advantage by extensively testing older cars. Which makes sense,
I guess. It does.
By using the 2020 car, classified as historic machinery, Mercedes circumvents these limitations. This allows Antonelli to accumulate valuable track time without consuming any of the limited mileage allotted for more recent cars. This approach ensures he's well prepared for the season while maximising the team's testing resources within the new regulations. We love a cheeky bit of rule bending.
We do love a bit of cheeky rule bending, you know. I can't get angry though, because it makes me feel old that 2020 is now considered a historic car.
Boy, if it's half a decade.
I know.
We're getting old, man.
However, just a quick one. The episode's going to have gone... But if you can leave a comment or send us a message on some of the socials, it is this fine gentleman's 30th birthday on Thursday. We are recording this on the Tuesday. So happy birthday for Thursday, Dom.
Thanks.
My liver hurts already.
I can smell the hangover that's coming. Why did I decide it was a good idea to go out three nights in a row?
Are we still doing kite on Monday?
Yeah, so we're going out drinking, and then we're going out drinking, and then we're going to go out driving. On a closed circuit.
On a closed go-karting circuit.
Yes, would not be, yeah.
For the people at Teamworks Karting, sorry.
We wasn't drinking.
Sorry.
And we're not drinking like on that day. We got like a whole day to prepare for it.
But the question is...
We're going to drink afterwards.
Oh yeah, of course. I mean, that's a given. No, but what I was going to say, do we... do you reckon Jamie might die again? Or will a wheel fall off mine?
Maybe. Who knows?
Who knows? Who knows? Who knows? Who knows? Anyway, so...
Yeah, that's... I mean... I don't know what the limitations are to how much they can. Obviously, there's a limit on how much driving they can do in the newer cars, and given in testing the older stuff.
Yeah.
It makes sense. Obviously, they can get as much use as they want out of it. So, but could you imagine, like, this is the one thing, obviously, did you see that Horner went out and had a drive in the... Red Bull, obviously one of the old Red Bull cars.
Yeah, we posted a literal meme about it.
But imagine being...
That was Dom's working. That was some...
Like,
we've had a few jabs at Red Bull, you know.
Yeah, but it serves them right.
To be fair, the last episode we did call literally pretty much every drive from 2000 to 2008 at Bellend.
I literally listened back to it, obviously, before it was due to go out. That's what we do. We have to proof listen. And... I was just driving home from work and I was just like, we've just called every iconic Formula One driver from the last 30, 40 years, Bellens. Every single one of them.
No. I think there's a couple that got a pass.
Okay, but we went Schumacher, Bellend. Senna, Bellend.
Nah, Bellend.
No, but we did. Or at least I definitely went, Senna. In fact, I think I remember you going, Senna was a bit of a Bellend.
At times.
That's, we did.
But the king of the Bellends, who's a bigger Bellend? Alan Prost or Max Verstappen?
Max Verstappen. Shut the window.
Oh, fucking hell. Right. Anyway.
Yeah.
We are against the clock today because we are running out of storage on the cinema cameras that we are very lucky to use this time that chew footage like no tomorrow. So, Dominic.
This episode may be shorter than usual because we don't have enough storage. However, we've got the whole Mercedes thing. It's that this is what I wanted to say though about all of that is why. Could you imagine being Christian Horner,
yeah,
and being a previous tester for Formula One teams? I don't know which ones. Please let us know if you do.
Yeah,
but imagine like seeing all these cars go out, and you know how to drive them. You're not like a bad driver by any means, but imagine being able to go out, well, not going out and driving them, like going, oh, we've just developed this fantastic car and you're not allowed to go and drive it. I'd be fuming.
Yeah, it's
like imagine being Christian Horner and watching Vettel absolutely dominate and Verstappen absolutely dominate and then going
and not being able to experience that car.
Bruh. But
the thing is, it's also one of those ones where like Christian Horner actually was he in Formula One?
He never got into Formula
One.
No, like because was it Martin Brundle? But he was saying, like, oh, you're far too old to drive it. And it's like, you were at least I was fast enough.
Yeah. I know what you're on about. Where like he's walking around, he's like, Christian, how are we looking? He's like, you're far short something. He went, well, at least I was fast enough to get into Formula One.
Something along those lines.
Yeah. So I've just looked here on Christian Edwin Johnson Horner's Wikipedia page, which we cannot trust as accurate as it is Wikipedia. He was a driver for Formula Renault. Do you reckon they've all got electrical issues?
Maybe.
However, he is from Leamington.
Leamington?
Yeah, he's from Leamington Spa, Warwickshire. Oh. Posh bastard.
Oh, yes. Jolly good.
It's posh around there.
This is bloody nice 8.
Nice 8. I keep touching the capsulist microphone and getting an electric shock. I don't know if Phantom Power is left on.
Don't keep touching it.
Whoops. Ow.
I mean,
people are going to be watching the video just watching me getting literally electrocuted.
Shocking that. Anyway.
Piss off.
So the other thing, obviously, that we're going to talk about is the FIA rule changes with the whole thing with not being able to fucking swear.
Sounds like absolute fucking bullshit, that, doesn't it? Sounds like a pair of bollocks.
I think, so obviously I've got some notes with a little bit of technicals explaining it just in case anybody's not aware. I'll go through that in a minute with some arguments in favour and some arguments against. I pulled it from a article, I think it was GP, you know, hang on. It was planetf1.com. Just yes. Credit them. That's where I pulled
just
it
for
from.
The reference of where we get the info from.
Before we get into that, I think what all the Formula One drivers should do at the start of this season now is before they even get into the race, before they even get in the suits and the cars in the like pre-race interviews and all that thing, they should just all go in and just start, you know, like the South Park movie where they're like, you can't say fuck is cool, you fucking fat ass. They should just all go into the interviews and just go all guns blazing, all of them just swearing.
Get it out of the system.
Like, not get it out of the system, just do it, and then the whole weekend just go in effing and blinding the whole way through. I feel like that'd be the way to, that's like a way to boycott the, in case you can't tell, that's my stance on the whole situation.
I kind of agree though, it's ridiculous. It's like, for me, they're grown adults racing. Like, why are they saying they can't swear? Because of when it's broadcast.
Yeah, and this is the thing, like, as much as I go on about, I don't want to say I hate Red Bull or I hate Max Verstappen or anything like that at all, because I want to try and be as honest and unbiased as possible. And it's quite obvious that Max Verstappen's not my biggest fan, but the thing that it really does come down to is when you see him talking, especially about the whole swearing thing, he goes on about, like, in football, that it's a high adrenaline scenario.
Yeah, it is.
And like, even if you watch the football, the amount of times, even during the World Cup, the amount of times I saw Jordan Pickford tell someone to go fuck off.
Or Jack Grealish squaring up to somebody.
Yeah, and you don't hear it as much, and it's not broadcasted or talked about.
No, because they're not mic'd.
No, it's not as, well, that's the thing. Like, when it comes to Formula One broadcasts, I get that they don't want swearing in it. Understandable, but they beep it out, or just don't include it in the broadcast. Like, yeah, they don't need to. It's not important.
That's the thing. I mean, again, so we've just filmed the Get to Know episode. We have a background in that sort of stuff. Right, you know, and I, you and I both know there's a big delay between when it gets from the live. Like there is purposeful delays in so they can catch stuff like that.
Exactly.
And
they don't, but the thing is, they can either sit there and have someone bleep it out, or they can just choose not to. And as they don't have to put team radio out on a broadcast.
No, 100%.
Granted, we love hearing the noise and going, oh, what's Verstappen complaining about this week?
Or it's like, say, for example, there's
what's
been a
George Russell grassing Max the, Verstappen
the, there's
up
been
for
a crash
this week.
And there's one of them ones like, oh, fucking hell, that was a big one.
Yeah, that's it. So.
Or Mark Webber. Fucking hell, that's a bit of a dinger, that, mate.
Literally. So. Yeah, I mean, I'll read the...
Already, it's a rule I think's ridiculous. It's, again, for me, it's... As a grown adult, you know, if you ever have a crash or you have a ding or something pisses you off and it causes you a bit of road rage...
I was going to say, how many times have you been cut up by someone and you've just been like, fucking dickhead?
Literally, less than 24 hours ago driving home, somebody fucking came off the island and just cut the corner straight. And I was just turning right, trying to just wait in. Went to turn because he was on the island. He was just cut the corner and rocked my front end off. And I was there like, you fucking bellend.
I had it. I literally driving here. I didn't even make it off my road. I pulled off and someone had just, they'd slammed the brakes on at the T-junction at the top of my road.
Yeah.
And I literally slammed my brakes on. I was like, fuck it. Hell, what the fuck? Yeah. And that's the
just
thing.
Just rage.
It happens, like, it's natural to, even if it's not swearing, like actual profanity words, you get angry. Like, maybe there's some drivers, I'm trying to think of like a driver that would be like nice and kind enough to be like, oh, you silly goose. Like, I can't think of a driver that wouldn't swear on the grid. Like
Oscar Piastri, maybe.
But even that time when Verstappen nearly took him off, he's like, oh, yes, the mover.
The world champion. I think it, Oscar Piastri is the only one who's not going to be getting 10 second penalties for dropping the F-bomb. Mm. Do you know what they need to do? Just all hold out.
To be fair.
Then get Octagon at the end of the grid. They get out and just kick the shit out of each other.
F1 remember, MMA.
Was it Max Verstappen that one time when he got out?
He got up to Ocon, yeah, squared up to him. Like,
yeah, squared up and pushed him.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Oh, God. What a guy. What a guy. Nah, it's ridiculous, you know, that is.
So, I mean, so I'll break it down and get into it here. So, the FIA recently revealed guidelines for the stewards to impose major penalties upon competitors within F1 for transgressions related to their behaviour. Last week, the FIA published an amendment to the 2025 International Sporting Code, which outlines rules, regulations and guidelines for all motorsport series under its remit. What changes were made to the FIA's International Sporting Code? The new... This is far too technical for me. Like, okay. I'm going to cut out because I don't want to be too...
summarize this.
Yeah. Well, this...
We need to do what we did on the last episode and get ChatGPT to summarize this shit.
Well, I did try and I pulled out the most important bits, but now that I'm reading it out loud, it's a bit technical. But here we go. This is the technical bit that's very important here. So... The guidelines see the students given the potential to hand out huge penalties, ranging from a €40,000 fine for the first offence, all the way up to €120,000 fines, championship suspension, and this is the worst part, championship points deduction for a third offence. So,
hear me out. That's a fucking big swear jar, that is, you know. Just 40 grand swear jar. Like, oh, fuck, just... You know, not fuzz.
Yeah.
When so, they're well, like, he's fucking dead. Bang.
That's the thing. So,
thank you, Danny.
The first offence is 40 grand. Then it's 80. Then it's 120, I believe. So,
you know what? Like,
and it says all the way.
I can't even comprehend having to spend 120 bags for dropping an F-bomb.
The thing is as well.
Ooh, my mic just went fucking flying then, mush.
The thing is, it doesn't say up to. So, it's all the way to €120,000 fines. So
that's ridiculous.
It could be more, but this is where it gets a little bit, I want to say worse, I guess, because it's the wording of the guidelines is quite broad, leading to fears that drivers or competitors could be hauled before the stewards for quite severe penalties over what could be minor transgressions unrelated to their on-track behaviour. And gives the governing body the ability, however theoretical, to hand out penalties in what could be viewed as a clampdown on free speech. So I think what it's kind of the with how broad the guidelines are, it's coming down to the fact of they can literally go, oh, it's not just swearing either. Like if you make the FIA or you cause harm to the way that the brand is viewed, they can penalise you for it. So if you go, fuck this sport, it's a load of shit, or this sport is a farce, not even swearing, you can get penalised for it.
No, that's ridiculous. You know, that's definitely, that's an issue. That's a.
If we didn't just create a Formula One podcast, I'd say let's boycott Formula One because that is outrageous.
I feel it's going to irritate the fans as well because some of the best parts is the iconic comments. I mean, obviously, there's a running joke when Carlos Sainz was singing "Smooth Operator," and I don't know if that was actually a legit thing. And they're like,
I don't even know if that's like, I know what you're gonna say
about when he was like, "Oh, Carlos, the FIA have said that there's a test."
You're not allowed to sing it because I think that was a meme. I don't even think that actually happened. Like, I don't think that was in.
I wouldn't actually put it past the FIA. Yeah,
that's the thing. That's what makes it worse.
I think, to be honest, it's one of them ones where no matter how good Formula One is and how good last season was, the FIA just make it. They just sometimes suck the fun out of it.
Well, quite literally. So it's
I understand that, like, obviously, like, they're trying to keep the sport, like, cleaner, but it's one of them ones where, like, that some of the best things that happen is rage on track.
Yeah. Well, that's what we're here for. You know, like, we're here for the entertainment. Like, it's not just the racing that's the fun. It's
kind of one of them ones where if you strip, well, what happens is, like, between, like, 2020 and 2022 or even 2019 to 2022 when it was really sterile, it happens what happens last time when the Formula One fan base does kind of drop off.
Yeah. Because it gets boring when it's the same stuff all the time, the same, like, as much as I am definitely a bigger Lewis Hamilton than Max Verstappen fan, but when Hamilton was dominating, it was boring.
It got boring.
And it's got to the point that it was so boring with Hamilton dominating where we were all joking. My sister would say, so who's winning? And we're like, shh, don't talk about who's winning. We talk about people who are second and onwards.
Yeah, literally, mate. Like, and it's...
Because Max Verstappen always wins and we don't care. We can be bored about everything. But that's the thing. So, I mean, got some arguments for and against here that report from that article. And arguments in favour, obviously, is maintaining a clean image. So the FIA aims to present a family-friendly image for F1, minimising swearing and controversial statements. Now, I get that they want to make Formula One a family-friendly viewing experience, but let's face it, watching, like, even pile-ups and stuff that happen, that can be scary. And when you're watching, especially, do you remember Roman Grosjean's fire? Like, the car where he's burnt and he was stuck in the car for how long? I wouldn't want a kid watching that.
No.
But this is the thing that happens, and it's a big deal. I get that. Second point is driver responsibility. Drivers are seen as role models and employees of teams with expectations of professional behaviour. Yes, I agree. But at the same time, how many times have you said fuck at work?
Oh, mate. How many times have you said fuck on this podcast? And... don't get me wrong, I understand and I get that. And there's kids who watch Formula One. But it's one of the ones where anything that goes out on broadcast is normally censored. Okay, so I'm talking from a British point of view
we watch on Sky Sports F1.
In line with Ofcom, the broadcasting regulation in the UK.
Which are meant to be one of the tightest in the world, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Again, I studied Ofcom, studied broadcast, and I know Ofcom's regulations are like. With that, it's definitely like, ours is a really tight-knit broadcasting. Now, obviously, in America, it might be different because America, like, they drop the F-bomb on radio like it's going on fashion.
America.
Like Cyrus XM when what's his face? Had, like, strippers on his show.
I know you're on about. You're on about that New York guy with the long black hair, curly black hair that looks a bit like Alice Cooper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I'm about.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's a difficult one. It is a really difficult one.
Well, the other point that they've got, obviously, in favour is respect for officials. So the guidelines aim to ensure respect for race officials and the FIA's authority. Maybe you got to look at the way, I don't mean to get really political here, but you've got to look at it the same thing. How do you expect us to have respect for the officials if they don't have respect for the people that are driving the cars. Like,
yeah, no, 100%, 100%, I agree
and,
there.
And it's the same thing, like, it, I don't know. And obviously, getting into the arguments against are the stupid penalties. Critics argue that fines up to €120,000 and potential suspensions are excessive. Wholeheartedly agree.
Yeah,
100%. For swearing.
Absolutely agree.
I get it. If someone's going in...
If someone's going in every lap, I'll fuck this guy, this. Yeah. Then yeah, then you're penalised in, but you can't... It's got to be... It can't just be a first offence. It's got to be like a succession of events to build to that.
Yeah.
So it can't just
be... I'm intrigued to see how it's going to go, for sure.
I'm intrigued to see how long it lasts.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, it's one of them ones where what happens if all the teams boycott?
Yeah.
Because that's all it... Or say, for example, if, say... This sounds stupid. Max Verstappen boycotts it.
Yeah.
Whether we like it or not, Max Verstappen is very much the FIA's lapdog and they will bend the rules for Verstappen. From historical points of view.
Yes, and I feel like... because he's been penalised for swearing before and he's been... It's had fines and...
Like, no, but I feel like, say, for example, if he says, nah, fuck this shit, I'm done with F1. I don't want to be in it anymore.
I'd cheer, personally.
I mean, a lot of us would. No, but also, for example, Lewis, his first season at Ferrari, which I want to talk about. Obviously, he, like, say, for example, if he's going like a mad one, like, because he's full of vegan pasta.
And, like, Verstappen's cut him up or something.
Yeah, and that's it. He's just out of his, because on video, I can do the actual meme. He's out of his thing like this.
Italian hand. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like the only way that it's going to be conquered or even just stepped down a bit would be if everyone kind of banded together.
100%.
The other issues that he's obviously got against is free speech concerns. The broad wording of the guidelines raises concerns about limitations on driver expression, particularly regarding political and social issues. So, like I said, it doesn't even need to be swearing. It could be someone calling
out. That's ridiculous.
And saying, like, imagine Lewis Hamilton. Not that he did or probably even would have, but imagine Abu Dhabi 21, where if he was to call out Michael Massey.
No, Michael. Yeah. It's not right.
So,
and but I love the fact that that reference now, the guy who we saw that video, I can't think what her name is.
Melinda,
shout out to your big bad self.
It's
if she's still listening by then.
I'm sure she would be. But yeah, this is another thing that we've got to ask. Are the team principals or CEOs or any of that going to be, are they going to be subject to this thing?
Also,
obviously.
Also, what about the new teams?
Yeah. Like...
I think we're gonna have to review this after the first race and see it and see what
definitely
happens.
I can't wait to see. There's only two other points against here. It's got, so obviously it's the subjectivity of moral injury. The concept of moral injury is vague and could lead to inconsistent and potentially unfair penalties.
No, 100% again. Absolutely agree.
We've touched on that already. And obviously hypocrisy. So F1's marketing efforts, including the popular Netflix series Drive to Survive, often capitalises on driver personalities, including their use of strong language.
No, exactly. I mean, literally...
Could you imagine Drive to Survive without Gunther swearing and going, don't kick my fucking door? Like,
no, exactly.
We look like a bunch of wankers. Also, highly recommend. I've started reading it. You're more than welcome to borrow it once I've finished. I say that. I bought it for my dad, but you're more than welcome to. Gunther's book. I've heard it's really good, you know. But you just read it entire voice. It's fantastic.
I've heard the audiobook is actually read by him.
I didn't know that.
I've
been reading the book, but
I've got six audible credits like waiting to be done. I know what I'm getting.
I think it's called Surviving to Drive or something like that.
So. Yeah, I know we've said this before, but I fucking miss Gunther, yeah. You know.
It's good because you see him doing the commentary sometimes in the race.
Yeah, and you're always like, "Hey!" It's annoying when you see Alan Prost and we're like, "Oh fuck, this guy." But on a much more positive news, Don Hamilton.
Well, we spoke about obviously.
We spoke about it. We said it's his first day last time.
Yeah.
But mate, Lewis in red, Lewis with that three piece, with that F40 in the background, jeez.
And that jacket.
Yeah, the whole fit. It's been the memes, though.
I was going to say the memes with Guido from Cars. He's like, pistol B, Ferrari, yeah.
Do you know the Michael Schumacher?
It has been good.
Oh, it's been incredible. You know what, though? I think the most wholesome thing that I saw about the Lewis Hamilton Ferrari thing, it was his mom. His mom there with like the full flip-up mom case, and she's just there like one of probably the most documented events in the last 10 years of Formula One, and his mom's there just like...
With a flip case, filming him good.
Love it. I love it, man. Like, the thing is, the question is, seven windows open, seven windows closed, one open.
So... I reckon
that's an eight. That they're going for an eighth title, you know.
The thing is, right? Obviously, we posted a meme about that, and the whole seven windows and the door to the eighth, and that. But that building's been there for a long time.
It was Enzo Ferrari's house, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't imagine it's like obviously intentional that's what it is or whatever, but.
I mean, you say that, but there's some good PR and marketing people out there who would see something like that and be like, that's a good opportunity. Just don't say anything and leave it there.
Yeah, I think it's one of those. Even if it's not intentional and the world has just put words in
a sentence and filled the gaps.
Yeah, that's what it is. We can only hope. I'm excited. Have you seen some of the stuff from him obviously being on track?
Yeah, it's great. I was excited for Lewis at Ferrari because obviously it's Ferrari. They're the pinnacle of the team. Everybody wants to drive for the Ferrari.
Well, the thing is, obviously, Ferrari have been in the sport since the founding of it.
I think an interesting one. Who's going to be one and two? Is Leclerc going to be driving one?
This is the thing. I think I saw an article on it.
I'll pull
the article from somewhere and talk about it in another episode. But I think it's something along the lines of Ferrari have never had a one and two. Obviously, my instant response was Schumacher and his dominant era of. It's obvious that Schumacher was always number one. But
I know it's like with Sainz and Leclerc.
It's never been.
I saw a really good interview with him, and Charles and Sainz. Like he went, I was so happy to hear. Like you said, I was gutted to hear that Ferrari were letting me go. He said, but I'm never going to put up a fight when it's a 7-time world champion, Lewis Hamilton. He's the greatest driver of all time.
I think I shared that on the pod Instagram.
I saw that on my feed, and I was there. I was like, that's a guy who really understands where. And he said, Charles came through Ferrari with the young drivers program, like. I think that's what's going to be really interesting is with Charles and Lewis is who he's going to be.
Well, obviously, I think they're going to focus on Leclerc mostly, but they're going to try and give...
I think they'll focus on Lewis for the last couple of seasons.
Yeah.
And they'll build Charles up as his reserve, basically as the second driver.
Yeah. I think they'll keep Charles kind of doing... They're just going to say, Charles, do what you do. You know how it is at Ferrari. You do your thing.
Yeah.
But obviously, they're going to put a lot of focus into Lewis going, obviously, it's his first time in Ferrari, so it's new for him. But
yeah, I mean, like, literally, they've built a brand new car for him.
Maybe 2026 will be the season to be like, who's number one and who's number two at that point? Even though we don't know how Ferrari did one and two.
It's going to be interesting as well because, obviously, Charles Leclerc is a great driver, but Lewis Hamilton is Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah.
He's the most
everyone
successful.
Everyone really wants him to get that eighth Ferrari. Everyone wants
him to get it because it just makes it harder for Verstappen to get it as well. I know that's comedy gold, but that sounds a bit savage.
But that's just how it is.
But that is just how it is.
It's just the way it is.
Du-du-dun, du-du-dun.
So, I mean, the only other thing that I've got to talk about, and I don't have a lot to talk about for it because there ain't really a lot of fact in it. And I don't want to get anybody else's hopes up other than how much I got mine up when I read the headline. But so there was a website called gpfans.com, news website, bit baity if I'm honest. And the headline was F1 News Today, McLaren major signing, Daniel Ricciardo return talks. And I was like, huh? And I had a look, and I had a read through it.
Don't.
And I was like, what?
We want the shoey back.
I did some digging, and there's no fact or anything yet. But there's talks about him becoming the reserve driver for McLaren. So, and I don't know about, obviously Mercedes have got Bottas back as their reserve driver, and Alpine have signed Franco Colapinto as their reserve driver.
I'm so glad he's still in the sport just for his name.
Yeah.
He's a fucking incredible name.
That's good. But I don't know, obviously, McLaren, I don't know who their reserve driver is. So if they even have one, assuming they probably would do, but is it going to be Daniel Ricciardo?
Is it going to be Danny Rick? Well, I'll tell you what.
I want it to be Danny Rick real bad.
I want it to be Danny Rick. Just we've expressed loads on this pod, our love of Danny Rick.
But being as though, I mean, we don't really have anything else to talk about today, do we, really?
No, and we are, unfortunately, against the clock today.
However, I think next episode, before we get into the Formula One season, which I think it will fall around that time,
yeah,
I really want to talk about Danny Kvyat, who he was. So, do you know anything about him?
Absolutely fuck all, I'm not going to lie.
So, I know we don't have a lot of time, but I'll give you a brief summary. He was, pre-Max Verstappen, he was the guy for Red Bull, and he used to go. So he's the baby dad of Max Verstappen's missus' first kid. So I think Penelope. So, but there's a whole lot of fucking history with him and Max Verstappen and Daniel Ricciardo and Sebastian Vettel.
Well, you know, that's the next episode.
That is something. That if is you want to learn about Danny Kvyat, I might be butchering his name, Russian driver, but he's seemed like a bit of a geezer. So I will share a reel that includes him and Sebastian Vettel, back when Vettel was at Ferrari, to give you a little bit of an inside of his personality. It makes him a bit funny. But yeah.
But unfortunately, Dom, that's all we have time for today.
That is all we have time for.
It's been emotional.
You know what? It's been good.
It's been good. And not like you, I've got a bonus episode as well that has gone up.
Yeah.
Where you get to know us, which is just over an hour. So you've got an hour and a half of podcasting this week.
Yeah. Well, this I don't know if they'd all fall on the same week.
Yeah, I don't know. We've done an hour and a half of podcasts.
Who knows? There's a lot.
Right. Anyway, I've been Sam.
I've been Dom.
Where can you follow us, Dom?
At BoxBoxBoxPod on practically everything. TikTok, literally, Instagram,
all the socials,
YouTube.
All the socials. We're on Facebook. Every single podcasting platform now.
All of them.
Including YouTube now. So yeah.
You got us in full HD.
Same time, same place. We will see you next week.
Love you, bye.
Love you, bye.